So tonight's teaching, the prophecies were right on. Thank you, Father. Specifically with rejoicing, I've been married almost 2 years, and I had no idea how depressing my face looks. I haven't had somebody around me all the time. And she'll go, "Are you okay?" "I'm fine." "No, you're not. Something's not right." And then I'm like, "Yeah, I've been thinking about this or that." But we're supposed to be a peculiar people. People should look at us and not go, "Man, that guy's so bummed out and stressed out." "Well, yeah, he's engaged. There's a guy at Pachyderm. His name's Ed. He's engaged. Nobody would switch places with him." So how do we engage but not become overwhelmed with it? We shouldn't look like other people that are engaged. Donald Trump, when you attack him, he rises up. That is not a natural man. That's what happens. And how do you do that? I don't know. I'm definitely not a master at it. I'm actually learning how depressed my face looks a lot of time. And I'm learning. Especially when there's something serious, of buying cars or some variable in your face. What's wrong with my face? You look angry. "I'm not angry." Okay, transform. What's it? Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now the issues of this world and the problems and everything's so serious. Transform. Don't be apathetic and don't be a Mennonite where you're not engaged, you didn't do anything. No, but also don't be on the other side that it kills you or people don't even want to be around you. How do you do both? I don't know, but there's a balance. And how do you keep the balance? Transform. Christ could do that, and at the end of this teaching, we're going to look at what I think Christ did. And so tonight's teaching is optics, vision. What I learned with hunting, which I'm not a good hunter, I perpetrate, is it doesn't matter how good the gun is if you don't have optics. And so, if you're going hunting in the morning with somebody else, the first thing you do is you check, not just the other gun. The gun didn't do you any good if you can't see. And then there's a scope on the gun. And I was just thinking, if a gun was $200, would you put a $2,000 accessory on something that's $200? Not normally. But in hunting, yes. It's the optics. If you can't see it, you can't hit it. What's the point of having a gun? And so there's a whole thing. And with hunting, if you don't have you're not seeing anything. And you'll be surprised. So when we sit hunting, it's called glassing. All you're doing is looking. And the American sniper, they said, why was he so successful at killing so many of the enemy? Another sniper said he never came off the glass. He never stopped looking. And he hit those targets. We are to never look into the future without faith. If you look into the future without faith, what's going to happen? You get depressed. We're by ourselves. There's nobody anymore. What next? But if you are going to look into the future, you make sure you got faith strapped to your chest and say, okay, what am I going to be looking at? Okay, good. Be intentional. Don't be like a natural man. You're going to look into the future because we're supposed to. First thing you do is, okay, there could be some scary things out there. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look the farthest I can do. And we'll do that with hunting too. Look at the farthest target. Can you zoom in? I can't see anything. We got to fix your optics. If you can't see Revelation 22, where death and pain are wiped away, and a new Jerusalem is lowered, and all the animals and all creation sing in a chorus, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts," and the Father is going to finally get to return to his earth. If you can't see that, stop. Where are you going? Look. And then, okay, what's another good stop before we look into the future? What's going to happen in my life? Let's back up, okay? We just looked at 600 yards. Let's look at 300 yards. What's a good 300-yard mark? How about when you meet Yehoshua HaMashiach? What is he going to say? You burned out because you're so bummed? Did you not think about meeting me? Come on, Chuck! You were thinking about yourself. You should have been thinking about meeting me. Me. If you were thinking about meeting me, you would have been, yes, I'm not going to burn out.
I'm going to meet him. He's going to say, let's take a look at this great car. Yes. And I've got some clients that are getting ready for retirement. And the ones that have been, one guy's been planning and waiting his whole life. And he asked me, is now the time? And I go, we good? And he's okay, but he's excited about possibly doing it. And that should be us. And then we take a step back to say, what is faith? What is faith? Faith without works is dead. I'm learning now that I have a wife, she's helping me become a better version of myself. Because if I'm stressed out, that is not faith. So how do I do both? I don't necessarily know. But if we're going to be looking into the future, make sure you have faith on and you look. And that's Hebrews 12. What did Christ do? How did he endure the death of the cross? He was looking. Glory's coming. Glory. And he's looking at Peter, James, and John and the disciples, who's easy to make fun of. They're a 10. I'm a negative 1 in faith, in ability. And they keep missing it and missing it and missing it. And Christ is going, guys, come on. I'm going to die. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And so this whole thing. But faith. We should be encouraging people. We look and go, what's going on? Well, I'm wondering if I'm ever going to see my mom. How often I'm going to see my mom. Or I'm wondering how much am I ever going to have more grandkids. Or is this the end of the line? Is this it? Or in my case, what's going to happen with your business? So this whole thing, is it just going to disappear? Are you looking at all those things through faith? No. Okay, take another look. Now you look through it and go, wow, what is Christ going to say that you didn't quit? Like Jeremiah. What do you think is going to happen with Jeremiah? Are you kidding me? Look what this guy did. How about King David? How about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, even at the end, I will not bow down to idols and false doctrines and new Jesus and new Holy Spirits and new glad messages. Well, you'll lose half your churches. I'm not here for the churches. Where am I going? I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. Why? Because I want to know Christ. And the Apostle Paul used his suffering to go, wow, this stinks. What was it like for you? Maybe Christ would say, after you're done with this race, I will tell you. Really? You'll tell me what it's like? And seeing Jeremiah lowered down into the mire, what was that like? And he'd be like, man, I was so sad. How'd you get through it? He's going to say, how any of us supposed to get through it? I looked at the hope of the resurrection. Not just the resurrection, we made it. Do you have hope in a resurrection? How often are you thinking about your rewards? Where are you going to live? Have you thought about where you're going to live? Have you thought about your vehicles? Have you thought about what location is it going to be? I know Vera thinks there's no C, that really bumps her out, but there's going to be something better than a C. If you're not thinking about it, you're robbed. Your treasure's not there. Where's your treasure? And so, okay, faith, looking into the future, looking, I'm going to look at the presidential things and the rest of the stuff, and we will endure. We will endure. People could say, how can you be so engaged, and be the happy, you're overflowing with the joy, and you go, well, I tell you what, it's not easy, because it's depressing. But what I got to do is I got to do this, and I got to think about this. And the thing about that was Joseph, too. Here's Joseph. Joseph was sold by who?
His family, his brothers.
Just like Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Who killed Jesus Christ, Jehoshua? His brothers. It wasn't Pilate. Here's his brothers going to kill him. I'm going to save you guys. What did Joseph? Who's going to save Joseph's family? Joseph? You're going to kill the person who's going to save you. You're like, man, but where's Joseph's hope? Where was his hope? And Joseph was the type of Christ. His hope was in the resurrection. And that nothing goes unnoticed. Not one little thing. And you're taking it for a team. You're taking it for a team. People aren't thanking you. They're not giving. You're giving 90%. I'm giving 10%. How are you going to endure? By going to him and saying, did you get that? And he'll say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got watchers, Vero. We got watchers. Did the watcher get that? Oh, he got it. Yes. Well, then how can you rejoice you were beaten? Because there's watchers watching me. And I'm going to cash in someday. Not because we're sadomasochistic that we want to be tortured. Some Christians, they want to go through bad times. They go, that is not Christ died for us to live. But how do we endure? We will endure if you have faith and you're looking into the future going, I'm going to get paid for this.
And you think about it, people being raped and horrible mutilations, and we've seen nothing compared to people losing arms and legs and cancers. And here's a guy who's never even got out of his wheelchair before, and he's got spinal stenosis, and he's like this, and he can barely even talk or move. Aaron, you see him? I do. What's it going to look like when that guy gets out of his wheelchair? Think about that. Think about the children. Can you imagine seeing a little girl, 5, 6 years old, eyes being opened at the resurrection? Can you imagine the guy at the gate, beautiful, who's never 40 years, and these things you're looking at? Can you see their faces? Can you see people who died for their country and lost legs and arms, and it was, some of it was necessary? Can you see their legs growing back at the resurrection, and their face and their family going, yeah, wow? Then you can see their eyes. I've never seen one. You see these videos on Facebook of people hearing for the first time, and these children are like, can you see kiddo, a deaf person who never got a chance to hearing melodies? Where is your hope? Where is your treasure? Well, you gotta have faith to have a treasure like that. And faith makes all things possible. Now, here's another thing that's real important with optics. Vero doesn't know about this, but can you go scuba diving without a mask? Yes, it's possible. You wouldn't want to. Do you know why?
Because you won't see
anything. Can't see anything! Do you know what you can see in the ocean water without these on? Nothing. It's a blur. And I've done it because we'll have underwater photographers take pictures. Everybody's got their mask and a regulator. You have no idea who anybody is. So what's the point of a picture? So I took my mask off and my regulator. So at least I'm paying for a photographer. You can at least see my face. And guess what I saw? Nothing. This is looking behind. Looking into the future. Don't do it without faith. And if you're wearing out, you're not doing it with faith. And you're not helping Christ. You're possibly irritating him. Maybe you're bad company. Are you getting the job done? Yes. Is he grateful if we're the only ones doing it? Yes. But he might say, lighten up! You got some roommates here. Well, how do I lighten up? Because it's going to take faith, but I will teach you if you're humble and coachable. This is gratitude. Gratitude. Grateful. Don't look into the past without gratitude. So these two things Yahweh recently taught me. This one was a reproof. The other one was a prophecy from my wife. So we get ready to go to bed. As we're getting ready to go to bed, he said, here's how the prophecy came out. He said, you would not go driving into the sun or flying an aircraft into the sun without what? Sunglasses. Optics. You can't see anything.
Oh, yeah.
If you're trying to drive in the sun, you might miss it. You might kill somebody. Do not drive into the sun without sunglasses. Neither shall you ponder about your future without faith. Put on your faith optics as you look, so you're not overwhelmed. You're going to burn yourself out, and you're not doing him a favor, making it more difficult. Yeah. And then this one was another one. So here I'm at my office, and there are all these family videos. I'm looking at how many people are dead now. How many people are gone? How many people chose to abandon Yahweh? Yeah, that happens. It's natural, right? And you know what he did? He said, try doing that again, but just try this time being grateful. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to look at it and reflect and be grateful for what you did have, how about you had a relationship with somebody? How about you got to see somebody turn, like my sister Dina? How about by the black sheep, my sister Sue, there was a time that she was around the light. How about being grateful and choosing gratefulness? And then the people that were torn away from you, instead of focusing on like what you lost, like specifically, so you've lost some important things, we look at it and say, I'm grateful at least I had them. At least I got to know them. And then we can go, and I'll see him again. And what does that do? Is we're supposed to live in the moment, live in the moment, live in the moment, but be grateful and to be faithful. And we're supposed to be examples of Jesus Christ. And I love The Chosen, because in The Chosen, that guy doesn't have a care in the world. And you look at him, he's laughing and joking, Yehoshua. I think it's Jonathan, I forgot his last name, until right before the Passover, and you're looking at this and go, he is not normal. What a great example of what we're supposed to be, like Christ. Mm-hmm. And here's the Apostle Paul. How do we get engaged? Turn to Numbers chapter 11.
What?
Numbers.
Yeah.
1 second. And so these are some examples of what we're not supposed to do. And so if you reflect back at something you lost or something that is never going to be the same, I'm never going to see grandkids again. My thing would reflect, do you remember when we had so many friends? Do you remember when the house was full? My flesh used to do this to me too. Aaron, do you remember when you had so many friends? And then I'm like, yeah. And you know what I would do? I would cherry pick all the best parts out of it, forgetting that most of them were drunkards. Mm-hmm. And why am I not? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, what is this thing? Be grateful. And where are you going? You got to go. And if numbers have been reduced. Well, one thing that's really changed, one time I went on a walk, I was living in Mom and Dad's house, and I've been faithful. People in here have been very faithful. And I got out into the corner and I vented. I had to speak like Peter. And Yehoshua was like, what's wrong? It just seems like the more faithful I am to you, the more people I lose. I just feel like I'm following you, and everybody else is, I'm losing them. And then he got to say, Aaron, you are transforming. They are not. And some of them are digressing into the world. They're going backwards. And he went, where are you going? And so then that's where you go. If you are going to be reflective, you look and now do the same thing with being grateful. I'm so grateful that I got to be an example for these people. I'm so grateful that they have somebody that lives locally, that there's a fellowship open right now. Yeah. I'm so grateful that they have zero excuses not to come. I'm so grateful that I haven't quit yet. And will I quit? Okay, we'll do that with grateful. Hebrews 11, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. And this was something that Vera pointed out that I did not know. Will somebody read it?
Six.
Moreover, the mixed multitude there was in their midst concealed not their lusting, and so even the sons of Israel fell away and wept and said, who will grant to us to eat flesh? We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt without money, the cucumbers and the watermelons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all unless unto the manna we turn our eyes.
Now we were right there. And Vero's on the point that this is perfect socialism here because the food was free at what cost.
Yeah.
And they're looking. Healthcare is free in Argentina right now too, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not. But you look, what are they doing? They're looking, they're cherry picking. And I have been that. And instead of being grateful, here I am, and here's the manna. Instead of being grateful for the manna, I'm going, well, where's everybody else at? That's what you're going to focus on? You're not going to focus on you getting closer to me, Aaron? And what we got to do is got to go, okay, I do not want to be, because it says Yahweh loathed them. Loathed them is like, this generation that died in Egypt. They all had a choice, living one day at a time. But if we're looking backwards and we're not grateful, and especially if we're lamenting, then we're going to go, God, Yahweh forbid that I become this generation in front of you, and I'm not grateful for you. Have given me your Ruach HaKodesh. I can hear from you right now. Are you kidding me? I don't need 500 people to hear from if I can't hear from you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the time of your day. Who am I? Chapter 14. 1 through 3. So that's looking into the behind us.
Then did all the assembly lift up and give forth their voice, and the people wept throughout that night, and all the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and all the assembly said unto them, Oh, that we had died in the land of Egypt, or in this wilderness, oh, that we had died. Wherefore then is Yahweh bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and little ones will become prey. Would it not be well for us to go back towards Egypt? And they said one to another, let us appoint a head and let us go back towards Egypt.
And it says in Acts too, I just learned this today, I did not know this. In the book of Acts, when Stephen, before he dies, he says they made the golden calf to go back to Egypt. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that?
Go back to Egypt?
Why did Aaron make a golden calf? Acts says it's because they wanted to go back to Egypt right then. I'm just thinking they wanted an idol. So I was like, I've never noticed that. Hmm. They wanted to go back. How many times have we wanted, maybe you want to go back? Mm-hmm. Everybody's together.
Yeah.
This is when the house was full. At what cost? What are you, you're comparing pollution, fornication, drunkenness to my presence? Who is here? I go, oh, okay. And then here, looking forward, what's the point? It's exhausting. Is anybody listening? And Pharaoh's been there with her, she was being obedient, and here she is. She's not in Buenos Aires where all the single people are. Yahweh sent her home during COVID to take care of her mom. And she doesn't, and it was against the law for her to get there. It cost her like every penny she had, like $1,000 taxi cab drive. I think, what was it, 10-hour drive?
11.
It's an 11-hour taxi drive just to get there, help save her mom's life. Now what? No job? There's no single people there. Not that I know, not many. It's a town of 3,000 people. And your mom... Now what? And people would look at my wife and go, you can't do what you're doing. And she goes, you don't know who my father is. Vera, you're going to have to compromise. You got it. This is not the world. This worked for a little bit, but you're going to have to compromise. And guess what she did? You don't know my father. You don't know my father. And he took her on a trip to Switzerland. One time. Yeah. And all of a sudden a guy takes her all exclusive pay. People came. She came back. People were like... How did that happen? She goes, you don't know my father. Oh. And here these things are. I'm going to go, the breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. Man, and if we need to be lifted up, I think we first have to address our shortfallings. Father, I am depressed at times. Not all the time. But there's times that I'm wearing out. I repent. I will look forward with faith. I will look backwards with gratefulness. I will work on being a poster boy of the fruit of the Spirit for you. Now will you give me a glimpse? Because he will. Who? This was a prophecy from David. David gives me a prophecy. He calls me up in Kenya. Hey, brother, you're on my heart. I want to pray for you. He starts praying for you. And he went, did you know... With David's eloquent voice. Did you know Yahweh showed Joseph the glory without the suffering? Isn't that neat? Joseph didn't see the suffering. He saw the glory. And then I went, Christ saw the suffering and the glory, did both. And he went, but isn't that neat? He showed it to him. Who else was shown something when they were humble? How about Abraham? Abraham, come here. Why do you think Yahweh had to have that talk? Where am I going? I got no kids. Sarah's frustrated. 25 years of trying to have a baby. It's a lot of sex without results.
Yeah.
So how hard is it to stay intimate? This is for a purpose. You know, people go. I've heard of people getting divorces trying to get pregnant. You know, there's a movie we watched. This is 25 years. Come on, throw a guy a bone, right? You're the creator. But, and there's nothing but Eliezer and Yahweh. He got to that point and Yahweh went, let's take a walk. Let's go take a look. Who is my father? Here's this. And he got on fire. And he was seeing the future all kinds of different from then on. Yahweh will do the same thing with us. In Hebrews chapter 3, this was another thing that Vera pointed out when we just had a recent Bible study. Hebrews chapter 3.
And this is all a new concept for me, so I'm not good at this yet. But we should be encouraging people. They're looking and they're about ready to quit. I think my brother Israel right now, I think he needs a lot of help. And we should say, hey, come here. We're going to go on a walk. What's wrong? And he's going to say the future. I don't know, but I would assume that. And we're saying, now let's try to take a look at your future with faith. Let's go over those things again, if you faint not. Because Galatians 6:9 says, you will reap if you don't quit. Why would you quit? Because you don't have faith. I'm just exhausted. There could be some exceptions to the rule. But if you got faith, you're not going to quit. Because Yehoshua is going to reward you. And we got to go, do you have, I have faith. Show me your faith. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. This context is going to go on in verse 9. It talks about the fathers of Israel testing by proving. Here's this generation that Yahweh is in another chapter. He's going to say he loathed them. They disgusted them. They didn't have faith and they weren't grateful for what? They had a God and a Father that was living amongst them. Think about that. You have a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud every day. He's right here, like the Garden of Eden. And that's what prophecy is. That's the Ruach Kodesh we got. He's right here. He's invisible. Yes. But then he was not invisible. I give you manna and all the rest of these things, and they are missing it. And I have missed it. But a neat thing with chapter 3, verse 1. Whence, holy brethren, partners in a heavenly calling, attentively consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, who?
Yahushua.
Now, the book of Hebrews is very different. It says, who's the high priest? Right here in the scriptures? Yahushua. And where we were studying the Passover, Vera said, Jesus killed himself. Because in John 10 it says, nobody takes my life, I give it. And Jesus is the high priest. And think about that. And especially when you watch The Chosen, here's The Chosen, they're going, shh, 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 God, stop talking it. No, he came to Jerusalem to what?
To die.
And he provoked them, and it looks like he made a mistake. But here is Christ also acting as a high priest. She pointed out, here's the high priest would kill the Passover lamb, but what high priest is going to kill Christ? You need a good high priest. He served both. And that was John 10:17. Nobody takes my life, I give it. You're like, man, isn't that neat? In Hebrews 12, we're already there. With endurance, right above verse 2. So Galatians 6:9, you will reap if you don't quit. Why are you going to quit? Okay, let's just pray with it, what I'm saying right now. What believer is going to be in front of Christ and say, I'm glad I quit? Mm-hmm. What believer is going to say, I'm glad I quit? And he goes, you could have had this, but you gave in. I wasn't worth it. I don't think any believer is going to say, well, maybe there's some exception. I think most people are going to go, man, I was that close. And going to go, okay, so why would you quit? A lack of faith, probably 90% of the time. You're giving up, you're exhausted, you're not thinking. With endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us. How? Looking into our faith's princely leader and perfecter, Yehoshua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of God hath taken his seat. And so, okay, how did he do it? He looked into the future with faith. He looked at the scriptures. If you look at the scriptures and start saying, okay, where am I going? And where are the dead? The dead are asleep. They're asleep. He says Lazarus is dead. He's asleep. Everybody since the Garden of Eden to Yehoshua HaMashiach were asleep awaiting a resurrection. And you can imagine Christ going, I don't know if I can deal with this.
And you can imagine Yahweh going, well, who's going to wake up David? Who's going to wake your mom up? Who's going to wake up Abraham? Here's the future. And so Matthew 6:21, it says, that where your heart is, your treasure will be also. And so when we're weighing down in a loving way, esteeming each other as the superior, so we should say, we need to help you with your joy. We need to help you look at some of your problems with, and it could be that I'm just stressed out because I hurt. Okay, that could be different. But if you're engaged in a world where you're losing things with me, you're losing people, I need to stop, I need to repent, and I'm going to look at all those things all over again with joy and being grateful. You can see it, there could be times that a kid lost his toys. Now they want more toys. And the parents say, no, not until you're at least grateful for what you had, but they lost it. You're not getting anything else until you're grateful, at least grateful for it. And that should be our example also. And James 1:6-7 says, if you have faith, you have works. Actually, we can finish it. James 1:6-7. That'd be a good way. For us to love one another like Peter, James, and John in a loving way, not when it's going to be provoking a fight, not when somebody's blood pressure is high like me. I just realized, I didn't realize I had a quick temper until I read about somebody's quick temper. I went, I think that's me. It was Smith Wigglesworth. And you used to be quick temper. I was like, that explains me. So, but James 1:6-7, if somebody read that for me.
But let him be asking in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea, wind driven and stone tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord.
A two-souled man, or a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, but boasting, be lowly, brethren. So just okay. When we're looking at the future, looking at the past, and we're just okay, go back and help each other with gratefulness and with faith, and going to go. What's your house going to look like? What color is your house going to be?
I never thought about a house.
We'll throw something out. What is it going to look like? You get started with something. Throw them a bone. Is it going to be on the prairie? Is it going to be in the mountains? I don't know. That's not faith.
It's not beach.
You could be a beach. And so here's how I thought of it. My wife loves the sea as she loves the beach.
Me too.
How about a great lake? There's lakes that are as big as oceans. And you have a beach, and you have the waves, and you have the noise. Oh, okay. And so you get started with something, and you start painting it. What does it look like? Okay, it's got everything except for the salt water. Oh, that's good. I guess it doesn't corrode all the metal, and the animals can drink it. And you start painting. What kind of house do you want there? Do you want a something small? You want something big? I don't care. Yes, you do. Because your life is on the line, and you're going to quit. Unless you know what is in front of you, not just the rewards, where are you going to be living? And for the people who have fallen off and they keep falling by the wayside, don't you want a big house then? For them to come back and go, wow, look what Wendy did! Wendy, 27 bedrooms! Who claims this? And Wendy goes, not me. I also believed in maids. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for today. And thank you for helping me transform myself to be in the world. But I should be a walking ambassador to you. And everybody should be able to just see by the fruit of the Spirit that you are inside me and there's something special. And how much more special is it to have fellowship with Yahweh and His Son? And they'll speak to us on a daily basis. And we have your Ruach HaKodesh. Now, my children, that I see sometimes you're being way too hard on yourself. And I understand. But what I want you to do is I want you to be easier on yourself. And look at your problems through faith and through gratefulness. And make me proud when you start looking at them. And make me proud as if your professor was right there. Because if you're doing homework by yourself, you might say, this is impossible. But if the professor's right there, you say, well, it looks impossible, but I can figure this thing out. And as you do that and you start thinking that way, you will produce the faith to start solving a lot of the problems. A lot of the problems you're looking at are solvable problems. But not the way you're looking at it. I can see it right now. There's people in this room right now that you have problems in your life that are not going away. And they're not going to go away until you look at them differently. It's like somebody losing their keys. And you ask people, pray for my keys, I can't find my keys. And somebody goes, it's in your laundry room. And you say, no, I already looked, they're all in your room. And they say, look in the laundry room. We know you looked. Look again, but look differently.
Okay.